interesting. Last week we started discussing the yin relating to what is usher and mutter to do during sphere, but in reality we only really discussed one inyan. We only really got through the issue of music during sphere, because of course we got sidetracked by music during the rest of the year, and why it's mutter, if it's mutter, and we discussed the differences between listening to music live as opposed to listening through a recording device. We discussed the difference between music and voices. We even pointed out a sheet that I'm posting that voices through some sort of recording device has a din of a musical instrument and is perhaps even more common than live voices. So we discussed all of these different issues when it came to the music. We pointed out in the end of the day, just to give an overview, the majority of posts take a pretty mafmir approach to the issue of music during Sfira, and they say that you're not allowed to listen to music, whether it be live or recorded. Within that majority, most of them assume that listening to only voices, to the Sfira tapes, the a cappella tapes, even on a recorder, on a radio or something like that, is mutter. Minority opinion thinks that even that's usher. There are those who think that only dancing is a problem. Any sort of music, however, would be okay. There are those who think that only music that is not very lively is okay. And then there are those who are even machmir when it comes to lively singing, without music. If it's a type of singing that would lead to dancing, there are those who are machmir about that as well. And the logic is very simple, that in the Nosi Kama Shokhara, if there's anything about music, all it says is that you can't have rikudim and mecholos, which means dancing. So whatever we're going to be machmir on, it should somehow relate to the dancing, according to some of the posts. Now this week I want to get into the shaving and haircutting issue, as well as all other forms of sinfon. If we get through with that, then maybe we'll discuss some inyanim relating to the mitzvah of Sfira HaOmer itself, as opposed to just being in Hagei Avelus of the Omer. So just when it comes to the issue of shaving, usually haircutting is not a major problem for most people. So most people will get a haircut before Pesach, and how often do you get a haircut anyway? So by the time Lag BaOmer arrives, you don't need a haircut that badly. You're able to get through those 34 days without getting a haircut, and usually it doesn't bother most people. What bothers people more is the facial hair, is shaving, and if one is allowed to shave at all, and how often one can shave. So the first thing we have to figure out is what status facial hair has. I mean, Chazal often refer to tisporet, which means hair cutting. They sometimes refer to giluach, which means shaving, but they more often refer to tisporet. And the question is, included in tisporet, do we assume giluach goes along? In Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to have any tisporet during Sfira. Is giluach necessarily the same thing? Is it exactly any time we see the word tisporet, when we look through the poskim, do we have to assume shaving has the same exact status as hair cutting? So there are two basic sources, and these I looked down through an article that I found on the internet, actually, from Gush. They printed up Ravaran Lichtenstein's Shita about shaving during Sfira, a shir he gave on the topic, and at the very beginning he just tries to analyze whether shaving is always equal to hair cutting. In source number 25, he points out, this is from the Sefer Smachos, where it points out that with as far as Ketzar Asur B'Netila Seir Echad Rosho Ve'Echad Shitma Ve'Echad Zitma Ve'Echad Kol Seir Shabo. Very clearly in the Sefer Smachos, makes no distinction. Tisporet includes the hair on your head, the hair on your face. It includes any hair that a person has is included in tisporet. However, when you look at the way the Rambam formulates in Hilchos Avelos what tisporet is, he has a slightly different formulation which would lead you to believe that there may be some distinction. The Rambam writes, "Minayin sha'avel asur b'tisporet." How do I know that an avel is not allowed to take a haircut? Shari hizyu b'nei aron v'shechem al tifru'u. Mechlal shekol ha-mis'adol asur l'spasa'aro el megadol tera. And it said that b'nei aron were told that they're not allowed to cut their hair, which seems to indicate that anyone who's in avelos is not allowed to...
These are the more relevant ones there.
The Bnei Aaron were told not to take a haircut, and we know from there that it's up there for an adult to take a haircut. And then another point out, Ukishem Shaasu Galeah Sarosha, Kak Asu Galeah Sar Zikno, the Kalter Sheeshbo. just like it's usher for Nevel to take a haircut, so too it's also usher for Nevel to shave, for Nevel to cut the facial hair that he has. Apparently indicating that, yes, facial hair is also usher, however, it's a secondary isser, meaning tesporus means hair cutting, and facial hair is included in tesporus, but it's not the very definition of tesporus, which is it's a nuanced difference, but it may make a difference to halakha. Now, going to YU, in my years there, I was always struck by the fact that when I was sitting in Rosh Hashanah Shir, Rosh Hashanah would always tell people that they can shave during Sfira, and yet the whole Shir had beards, had Sfira beards, and myself included, because that's how I never shaved during Sfira growing up, and I wasn't going to change, I didn't feel like changing, but I never really looked into the Indian while I was there about why this should be so. Rosh Hashanah every once in a while explained a little bit, and he writes in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, he explains a little bit more why Rassel Zeche tells, and many of his Talmidim, that you're allowed to shave during Sfira. Now, it's important to note that although Rassel Zeche tells you're allowed to shave during Sfira, he did not necessarily hold you can trim a beard during Sfira. He felt that there may be a distinction between shaving and trimming a beard, and we'll see why in a moment. And he writes in Nefesh HaRav, in source number 27, Rabbeinu Hizr Nefesh HaRav, of course, he knows an intellectual biography of Rassel Zeche, is basically Rav Shechter's recollection of all the Rav's different minhagim that he had, certain stories about him, and certain Torahs that relate to Tahashkata are also collected in the Nefesh HaRav. If someone told me that a similar book was just published about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky just recently, about Rav Yaakov's family, that they published a book, a similar intellectual biography type of sefer, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. There have been books published like this about various Gedolim, about the Chazon Ish, the Sefer. There have been many books of this nature, but this is Rav Shechter actually had so much to write. He wrote Nefesh HaRav, I think, in honor of the first yahrzeit of the Rav. He had already completed Nefesh HaRav, and then he realized afterwards how much more he had forgotten to include. He was able to put a second volume out called Mitzmine HaRav, that he published more recently. And I think he said he can he has enough there that he can keep on going. There was so much that he was able to learn from the Rav Tanhagos and little pieces of Torah that give you an insight into the Hashkafa and just the way of the Rav's Midos. He was able to gain so much. So in the Nefesh HaRav, he writes, this is the original sefer, Rabbeinu Hizbir Sheminig HaAvelus Mizayin V'Tamuz Ve'Elach, Who B'Tchinat HaAvelus Shol Yibes Chodesh. So Salvechik was always trying to explain every minhag Yisrael, how it relates to a din, and how no minhag was created in a vacuum. Chazal didn't come up with minhagim by just randomly making up rules. Everything is patterned after something else. Just like we have a klal in Shas, that told the Tikkun Rabbanon Kendo writes a Tiknu, that any Takhanad Rabbanon is patterned after a Dindar Raisa. And Salvechik spent hours and hours trying to explain how Minhagim are also somehow rooted in the Halacha. So we have a Minhag, let's say, about the 3 weeks, but we don't shave during 3 weeks, we don't take haircuts during 3 weeks. And what is this patterned after? Is this something, some new type of Avelus that's been created, and then the Avelus intensifies during the 9 days and intensifies it further in the Shor Shachavu and on Tisha B'Av? Is this a brand new kind of Avelus? Or Salvechik thought they won't have made up a new category of Avelus. This is clearly patterned after a different type of Avelus. And he writes that the 3 weeks is the Bechinat Avelus Shol Yedei Chodesh. It's just like the halakos of 3 weeks are an exact parallel to the halakos of the Avelus of Yudei Chodesh, of the 12 months of Avelus that a person has when they lose a parent. Ukimokin, in brackets, is important for us, Ukimokin being a Sfira. The Avelus of Sfira mirrors that in 3 weeks to an extent. We discussed last week some of the differences, but to an extent it mirrors that of the 3 weeks, and is an expression of the type of Avelus that one has during the Yudei Chodesh for a parent. Now that we know that, he explains the Shlosh Kalbo Tishba, Adib Bechina Shloshim, during the week that Tishba falls out, that's like the Shloshim when it's intensified, or the Tishba Gufo Nogim Kolbin Shiva. And on Tishba itself, that's the Shiva. That's the most intense form of Avelus. And so this is a beautiful essay where he describes why it's in reverse order. When it comes to the 3 weeks, it slowly intensifies, yet when it comes to the Avelus over a parent, it's intense at the beginning, and then it becomes less intense as time goes. And he explains that there's a difference between a historical Avelus and an emotional family Avelus. When it comes to an emotionally family avelus, a person loses a karol, he doesn't need to be called how to feel. Immediately it hits him like a ton of bricks. The sorrow, the mourning, it's an overwhelming emotion. And that is the most intense time for him. And to slowly get him back into regular life and to go on with his life, the halakha sets up a system where it very gradually gets him back into the normal way of doing things. However, when it comes to a national avelus, when it comes to an avelus of the Churban HaBayis, it's so hard to relate to it. How do we really sense, we should sense a shiva over the Churban HaBayis of these places? That's important to build up to slowly internalize just how much we miss the Beit HaMikdash. And if you try to just feel it all in one shot, you're not going to feel anything. And it has to be something that's developed slowly. So there is a parallel, but it's a reverse parallel. It's literally a mirror of each other. The Alpia Vamazu, based on this, Hayasavar Shemutu is Kalayatim Espira. A salvation felt was mutter to shave during Spira. Why? Are you allowed to shave during the Yid Beis Kodesh? So he says, no, but Leilam Skalkim Lechalyam, those who shave every day can shave during Spira and also during the 3 weeks for the following simple reason. What's the din during Yid Beis Kodesh of a mother and father? The halakha is the person, there is an issue to shave. The person is not allowed to take a haircut and shave. Until his friends look at him and say, you look like a mess, go get a haircut. Once he gets to the point where his friends tell him he looks like a mess and he needs a haircut, at that point he's allowed to shave. There's a machlokes in the achronim whether you have to actually wait till a friend says it, or you can do it even if a friend doesn't say, you just get to the point where if a friend would, where a friend could, in his, you know, would be well within his rights to say such a thing. There's a further machlokes, after you get the first haircut, you have to wait again till you get to the point of either a book of Aaron, or perhaps you're allowed to then shave and take haircuts continuously. So different people have different opinions. How do you make females who are making on both issues and females who are not clear? But that's the basic halacha is you wait to achieve Rebbe Chavera. So when you live in a society where everyone has beards, so it takes a long time for the facial hair to get to a point of either Rebbe Chavera. The hair on the head is likely to get to a point of either Rebbe Chavera just as quickly, if not even more quickly, than the facial hair. And it takes some time for hair to get to that point. However, Soloveitchik argued, when you live in a society or you're a person who always shaves, you shave daily, so you always have a clean shaven face. So to get to the point, how long would it take for you to go into your office and for someone to say, "What's the matter, shave a bro?" You know, like, how long would that take? It wouldn't take more than a couple of days. A couple of days is a 5 o'clock shadow and a little bit more, and right away someone would make a comment to you that you look like a mess. So Soloveitchik argued that at this point, since for those people who shave every single day, even Rebbe Chavera, it happens very quickly. And therefore, he argued during the Yimei HaSfira, you're allowed to shave. And he argued further, I don't think I'm shut the right this here, but this was at least the word around the hallways in YU, that he supposedly used to pull people out of the Beis and tell them that they have to shave. He tell them they look like a mess and they have to go shave. And apparently, he's being the kind of halacha of Yigal Rebbe Chavera. He assumed, I guess, they were not there for the sheep that all you have to wait till Yigal Rebbe Chavera of Mamish, and he was going to be the Chavera who was going to tell them that they look like a nut. But apparently, that was based on the opinion that he had, that if it's mutter to shave, it's a chiv to shave. I mean, there is no in-between ground. Because in general, it's lots for a person to look like a mess. Lots for a person to look like a schlump and a mess, and you can't walk around looking like that. A person has to walk around with a certain sense of dignity and a certain sense of self-respect. So if a person is completely unshaven, so it's not necessarily a chumrah. If you hold it to mutter, then you have to be matmir and shave. That was a Soloveitchik's opinion based on the pattern after your Beis Kodesh. So why wouldn't he trim his beard during Sfira? So again, like we said, when you have a beard, to get to the point of Yigur Bachaber, just because it's growing a little bit more over there, it doesn't happen so fast that it looks disgusting or it looks that much different than you normally look like when you have a beard throughout the year. So that's why supposedly he would not trim his beard for that reason. That's one argument that is posed. One possible kula that the postim have for shaving. A further kula I found in Chavrusa gave a similar shiur last year, and after I was almost done preparing the Marmukamos for this year, I looked through his Marmukamos, and he had this unbelievable source from a Sefer called, Sefer I don't own, it's the one I don't own. It's a sefer called Lavu Lo Yivol, which is I think I've referenced it in the past. It's a sefer of Minhagim of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a sefer of a fellow who's he's a friend of one of my colleagues from Rav Willig, and he's telling me about this guy. He would follow Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach around wherever he went, and he would always ask him questions, constantly checking him with questions, always peppering questions to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman, you know, sometimes it was yes, sometimes it was no, sometimes it was a little more of an explanation, sometimes it was I'm tired, sometimes, you know, whatever the answer was, the guy, and rightfully so, he wanted to be extremely careful not to, not to misrepresent what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, so he literally wrote down word for word what Rav Shlomo Zalman told him. I think I've mentioned in the past, at one point in the sefer, he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman a question, and apparently Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't impressed by the question. So the response was, how long have you learned in yeshiva? Apparently, what kind of questions that you're asking? But he would write down. He would write down everything. And in fact, it was one of the only times I've ever seen where the Haskamah to the sefer says, "Please, I beg of you, don't print this sefer." And one of the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's son wrote in the Haskamah. He wrote, it wasn't really Haskamah. It was a letter saying, "Just please, don't print this sefer." He didn't know that this was written down and recorded. This wasn't. These are not well thought out halachic opinions. So the guy writes, I understand what Rav Shlomo Zalman's son is saying, so we take everything with a grain of salt. Understand that these were said in passing. But apparently there's this conversation, it must have been very hard, it's got to be very hard not to print the sefer that you worked so hard to put together. So he tells, I'm going to read the whole thing because I think it's a fascinating conversation. He tells of the conversation that he had with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and a little bit of detective work, and we figured out one mystery in the conversation. So let's see, source number 28. Secretly you did. A friend of mine told me, Shashama Shir me Rosh Yeshiva Echad, that he heard a shir from a certain Rosh Yeshiva, Shehigil Maskana, who arrived at the conclusion, Shegambi Yemei Sfiras Omer Mitzvah Kaleach and Kol Shabbos. That even during Sfiras Omer you can shave, but not like the Rav said, whatever you want, just to look good, meaning every couple of days to look good, but rather, every Erev Shabbos, and only on Erev Shabbos. He does not identify the Rosh Yeshiva. However, a little bit of research reveals that the Rosh Yeshiva is Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. At least Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has the same exact Shiva with the same exact argument. So probably, and this guy knows Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, so probably the Rosh Yeshiva is Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who of course was the son-in-law, is the son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik. When he went to Eretz Yisrael, when he became Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, he felt that he needed a new Rebbe, because he felt that having his father-in-law so far away, it's not healthy not to have a Rebbe nearby. But it's pretty difficult to find a Rebbe when you're a Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. You know, the man knows everything, so you have to find someone who was above him. So the Rebbe that he took for himself, and that for the Tzeluch HaRav that he did, was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach became Rav Aaron's Rebbe, even though one could argue that it would seem they have different hashkafos and they come from different worlds. Rav Aaron's respect for Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach rivaled, probably did not rival the respect he had for any human being other than maybe his father-in-law. It's just an incredible kesher and relationship and admiration that he had for Rav Shlomo Zalman. So I don't know if the guy told Rav Shlomo Zalman who the Rosh Yeshiva was, but in the sefer he doesn't write who the Rosh Yeshiva was. Anyway, so Achas Min Arayos Dekah, one of the proofs that he had that you're allowed to shave on Friday, he made Divrei Mishnah Berurah Sivan Tav Tufin Al Sukkot Mamid Beis from the Mishnah Berurah himself, who is Mishnah Berurah Shehavius Divrei Magen Avram. Mishnah Berurah quotes the sheet of Magen Avram Sheasu Lehistater BeErev Shabbos Chazon. With Magen Avram writes that although on Erev Shabbos Chazon you can wash clothing with public Shabbos, you can't take a haircut on Erev Shabbos Chazon. Mishum Shevelav Haki Ein Regilin Lesafer BeKol Shavua. You can't take a haircut because anyway, you don't take a haircut throughout every single week anyway. So you can go this week without a haircut also. That's the logic why it's also that he's stopping. Now, think again, similar to what we were saying before. If you can ever make a distinction between what he's stopping and the Galea, so it used to be, before people shaved every day, it was, that people didn't shave every week either. And it would be in the same category as when he's stopping to take a haircut. But, he argued, Mashmashib is my name in our country, Regilim with Skalech. Call Yom HaYomayim, when people shave every day or two, the Kolshkin, the Kavod Shabbos, and certainly all the more so that they shave for Kavod Shabbos, So maybe then it would be mutter v'sheit even on Erev Shabbos Chazon in the middle of 9 days. V'hosif osan Rosh Yeshiva, and that Rosh Yeshiva added in Erev Shabbos Chazon yesh lahakel b'gilu achuz maneinu, that you can even shave on Erev Shabbos Chazon, kavuchomer sheyesh lahakel b'Erev Shabbos Shavim Yetzirus HaOmer. Well, the more so, you should be allowed to shave on Erev Shabbos during Sfira. And then he says, so how did Rosh Lozano react to this? He parked the rabbi Saraya Azot, I told over this proof to Rosh Lozano, Mishael says, Ketav Yishlim of Lamaisa. And I asked him, how should we be knowing Lamaisa? Rosh Lozano, Va'ana, and again, this is an Eid Nevman, he writes down everything very clearly. He says, Rosh Lozano answered, Lamaisa in this Kaleach Bimei Sfira Sa'omer. Halakha Lamaisa, don't shave during Sfira. If there was a special dispensation for Erev Shabbos, someone on the side of the Shulchan Aruch would have pointed it out. Someone would have said something. There's not a single one of the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that made this point. Granted, and this is an interesting point, Rosh Hashanah said, granted, I see the logic. I understand what he's saying. Based on that level of that the whole reason why it's also the stop is you don't need to do it every week, and you don't commonly do it every week. And the same could not be said for shaving. Logically, it's perfect. But to use a logic of our listening in relation to someone else, not everything that is brilliant is true. Right? Not everything that fits in logically is necessarily going to be relied on halakha l'maisa. Avol nagu shelo l'skalech, the minute was, not to shave, ain't but okay, no, the Shabbos minhagim, we can't just come along and start changing and hugging around. So he says, that's how Rosh Hashanah was on, and then he puts in brackets, that probably means he wasn't sure if these were the exact words that Rosh Hashanah used, but that's what he seemed to say. And the fact that that things have changed and now people shave every day, Rosh Hashanah was not impressed with that raya, with that change in the seal thing. You could argue, of course there was a Nosei Kelim, the Shulchan Aruch say anything. They did not know Ralko in the days of the Nosei Kelim of the Shulchan Aruch, so of course they're not going to say anything. They were all walking around with beards, so it wasn't something they did commonly. Rosh Hashanah was not impressed with the raya. But this guy, I forget the name of the Rav, it's not respectful for me to call him this guy, but the author of this Sefer, after having that conversation with Rosh Hashanah, went back to his friend, or to Rav Aaron, or to someone, and dug up a Maran Makom. Rosh Hashanah's main title was, no one made this point before. No one on the side of the Shulchan Aruch made this point. So he says, but if you look a little closer, Shuvah Rumi, someone showed me afterwards, it's the Re'ach Sam Sofer. The Sam Sofer in his Shuvah, Sarkosev, Shadivere Among the Rav Anal, Sha'osev, Tisporus, Rav Shabbos, Tazon, Nemu, Biakos, Tisporus, Arosh. Sam Sofer says, but famous, the guy was running around and says, you can't take a haircut. And Rav Shabbos, Tazon means only a haircut. Avon, me, Tisporus, Tazakin, Anoz, Akshav, Mitzayer, Hardim, and Navalos, and Ma'oz, Mizelo, Vibru, Velo, Allah, Alibam. But to speak about an unshaven face, a person which bothers a person and makes a person look ugly, look, it does, makes a person look ugly and it's annoying to a person, I can attest to that. Right? That, the Magen Avraham never said about, although Allah Alibam never even thought to say such a thing as Asir. So now this guy, this Rav, armed with the Chassam Sofer, Rosh Zalman, he says no one says it. There's a Chassam Sofer that says it. He runs back to Rosh Zalman, look, it's the Chassam Sofer. Rosh Zalman says, HaKazam says that, he responds to him right away, I know that Chassam Sofer. And that kind of environment, probably that Chassam Sofer, Kosei Shazek Mal Kutsum V'Dagorin. Chassam Sofer writes that it's like thorns that are growing in your face, it's something or other. V'Zeg Gorin Lo Tzai Rav, and it's a case where it's causing you a lot of pain. U'Be'emes Misha Mekelis Galeh, and then he just writes in brackets, Chassam Sofer doesn't use that Lashon, but he ends that Rosh Zalman understood the Chassam Sofer to be talking about a case where it's really causing you a lot of Agmas Knefesh. And he says, you know what, he relented a little bit, it sounds like. The MS, Misha Mekelis Kaleach, Yishtal Malusma. You know what, you want to shave during Sfira? I'm not going to yell at you, you have to be so Mekhan. Mekivat Shizah Dabrachadish Mea Shalom HaKronos Shemadim Luskaleach, because after all, it's recent, in recent century, the most recent century that people have begun to shave consistently. There's no minute to put yourself into any sort of pain or anguish. Nevertheless, minute had a notion to Yerushalayim Shemachim Alatim Shalos Aleihem. The minute of people or Yerushalayim in general has always been not to shave. But Kafroyu Linhogin, for asking me what I really think, you want my advice for Shalos Aleihem, don't shave. Avol Misha came to Aleihem, Lo Tzorich Laher Lo Alkach, Ki Yesh Lo Al Malisma. But when someone does shave, don't call him a shaggy, don't call him even tell him he's doing anything wrong, he certainly has Al Malisma. One would suspect that somewhere in between, someone told him who the Rosh Hashiva was. You know, the Rosh Hashiva, he had a relationship with him, just guessing and surmising at this point, that once the Svara was sent to him, and it was in the name of a Rosh Hashiva, who was a respected Rosh Hashiva, it wasn't just Tom, he had said this, so Rosh Hashiva's style in general was, you don't have to listen to what I have to say, but I'm going to tell you my opinion. And if you ask my opinion, I'll tell you my opinion, but I'll never say that you have to listen to me. Supposedly, Shekel has to tell the story. Unbelievable story. A woman who was in the early stages of pregnancy, and there was some sort of disease that they had detected the child would have. I don't know if it was a Tay-Sachs disease or something, or some sort of disease that they detected. And the woman was an emotional wreck. She was being thrown into depression. She was just a complete emotional wreck. And she wanted to know, she wanted an abortion. And she spoke to her doctor, who happened to have been a firm guy, who happened to have a relationship with Shlomo Zalman Rebbe. He said to her, look, I'm not going to, you know, I'm certainly not going to pass on this for you. You can call my Rebbe here, you can call Shlomo Zalman, and you can speak to him. So first the doctor called for Shlomo Zalman, he didn't tell her to call. He said, I'll call my Rebbe and I'll speak to him. So he calls for Shlomo Zalman, Shlomo Zalman said, I'm not going to be my Rebbe, I can't. His Rebbe just pleased, you know, she's a wreck. Think about it. Just don't answer so fast. Just think about it. Give it some time and then get back to me. So I was never mocking an abortion. I'm not going to be mocking one now. Just please just think about it. So Shlomo Zalman says to him, all right, you want me to think about it? I'll think about it. I'm not going to change my mind. I don't think, but you want me to think about it? I'll think about it. The next day, Shlomo Zalman calls up his doctor and says, I thought about it. Tell the woman that there's a rabbi who lives in Yerushalayim. His name is Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg. He's the author of the Shalos Tshuvos Tzitz Eliezer. He's a big Talmud Chacham, and she can call him and ask the Shalos. She doesn't have to ask me. She doesn't have to accept my opinion. The Tzitz Eliezer, in general, has a much more lenient approach, an unbelievably lenient approach, in the minds of many, to abortions, to early term abortions, especially when it comes to certain illnesses that have been diagnosed. So Shlomo Zalman, his incredible anivus, realizing that he held it was murder, but was still willing to say, this is what I hold, but no one has to listen to me. That was Shlomo Zalman's approach in general. And here you see it coming through, obviously in a much less serious and severe case, you see it coming through in this tshuva. I hold you shouldn't shave your tzvira. There are other opinions that come to that chachamim, good. So you're allowed to listen to them also. Whoever you ask your shaylos to, you listen to. You don't have to listen to me. That was Shlomo Zalman's approach. And, you know, ironically, of course, the one who says you don't have to listen to me is listened to probably more Jews than any other post-it that's lived in, certainly since he's passed away. He was the post-it Hadar in Eretz Yisrael, the Moshe's counterpart in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so that's the...
there was the
Right, well, no, the Tzitz Eliezer was... And is.
It was quite a character.
From what I can gather, there were some strong words that were, if you look at the Tzitz Eliezer's tshuva to about abortion, he references Rav Moshe, and he uses extremely strong and one would may argue very chutzpahdic words in addressing Rav Moshe. Phrases like "Zelo haderech chaver," as if they were equals. You know, this isn't the way we do things, buddy. You know, it's not the way you talk to Moshe Feinstein, even if he's a Tzitzeliezer. Moshe was Moshe. Anyway, so there. I don't know if Moshe had any hard feelings, but it's strong words. Anyway, so that's how Shlomo Zalman dealt with that particular issue. Back to us. Back to shaving. So when it comes to shaving, so far, the Rav was thinking, we know possibly you can shave every Friday. Why every Friday? So far we saw two svaras. Right? So in this state there, he only quotes one svara from the Rav. Right? He only quotes the idea that if Tisporet is only usher on Erev Shabbos Chazon, he quotes something you only do you only do once in a long while, so shaving is not in that same category anymore. However, if you look at the piece, you can probably do a Google search and find it on the internet, that Gush has published on the internet from Ravaran, that Shir, that they published from Ravaran. Ravaran doesn't just say one Svara. He says, I'm willing to be makel shaving every Friday during Svira for a combination of three Svaras, and he had three Tzad in Lahakel. So one Tzad Lahakel was the same as his father-in-law that we read in the Nefesh HaRav, but simply that it mirrors the Yudei Chodesh, and as soon as you get to the Shir Ga'ara, as soon as you get to the point that people should make comments, or are in their rights to make comments, so that's already a half of a shave. The second side of the hotel was what's presented over here, having to do with that mugging our brothers about getting a haircut, and shaving is nowadays different than getting a haircut because it is something that people do consistently. And then you had a third side of the hotel. And the third side of the hotel I thought was perhaps the strongest side of the hotel. It involved a little bit of lumbus, but I thought it was a very strong side of the hotel. Ravina Lissinson points out that there is a machlokas in the Rishonim, what the halacha is during avelos by trimming a mustache that's growing over into a person's mouth. A person's mustache grew so long that they're unable to eat properly. Let's say a person with a mustache loses a parent, so their mustache is now growing out of control, and they're only during Shiva already, and they're it's becoming difficult to eat, and the mustache is getting in the way. So this doesn't sound like a shayla that Rishonim would discuss. Rishonim discussed the shayla, and there's a three-way machlokas in Rishonim what you're allowed to do. And Ramban holds that it's mutter to trim it even during Shiva, to get it out of the way. Even during Shiva itself, to trim the mustache so that a person can eat normally. The Ravid holds, it's also to do during Shiva, and it's also to do during Shloshim. It's not even what they're during Shloshim, because we don't find any difference in the halachos of haircutting and shaving between Shiva and Shloshim, right? Even in Bokhavero, it's Yibbe Kodesh, it's not in Shloshim. So the Ravid holds that even during the entire Shloshim, they're not allowed to cut the mustache, to trim the mustache. The Ritz Gaius, which is the sheet that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha, holds that it depends. If it's during Shiva, it's Asr. During Shloshim, it's Mutter. So the Ravina just poses a very, very obvious question. We understand where the Ramban is coming from, and we understand where the Ravina is coming from. The Ramban says that it's always going to be Mutter, simply because the Ramban holds that for the sake of eating, that's considered a big enough tzara to be makel with the dinim of Avelos, to be built a certain dinim of Avelos so that you can eat like a mensch, right? That he apparently felt that the issur gimuach, or the issur tisbarat, is pushed away in favor of eating. We understand where the Ravid is coming from, that the Ravid health, no, it's not an important enough, you can still become nourished, you can still eat, it's just not as comfortable. You're not going to compromise the dinim of Avelos. But where's the Ritz Gaius coming from? Where does the Ritz Gaius have the idea to distinguish between Shiva and Shloshim regarding Giluach? We never find a distinction between Shiva and Shloshim regarding Tisparus and Giluach regarding haircutting and shaving. Why would the Ritz Gaius come up with such a distinction? So Rav Aaron explains based on the different comments that the Ramban has. The Ramban writes that there's a distinction to be made between the example he gives is between showering, not showering at all, and not showering in hot water. And he explains a very simple distinction. The Ramban explains. When you don't shower at all, so you're mamish being mitzayer yourself. It's difficult, it's painful, it's uncomfortable. It's tzayer that one is causing himself. When one bathes, but they don't use hot water to bathe themselves, it's not a tzayer that they're causing themselves. It's holding back a certain enjoyment and a certain pleasure. It's withholding from yourself a certain hana'ah. So Ravina suggests that perhaps this distinction was made by the Ritz Gaius as well, but with a different application. Perhaps the Ritz Gaius felt that there's a distinction to be drawn between the dinim of Shiva and the dinim of Shloshim on this level. That when it comes to Shiva, there is not only an obligation to withhold hana'ah from yourself, but a person actually has to be mitzayer themselves. Things that a person does during Shiva, sitting on the floor, this causes a person's tzar. It's not just holding back a certain hana'ah that a person would have. However, during Shloshim, he argues, one is only required to hold back hana'ah, but not to be mitzayer themselves. And perhaps that's why the Mishkan is distinguished with the mustache. To have the mustache growing into the mouth is mamish mitzayer a person. It's not just the hana'ah of shaving that he's withholding from himself. When he trims the mustache, he won't feel any hana'ah of shaving. It will just be that he won't have to deal with the tzar of eating the food with the overgrown mustache. So he said, subverting the shiva way, so you just be mitzayer yourself, so the mitzvah was machmir. But during the shloshim, where you don't have to be mitzayer yourself, all you have to do is withhold hana'ah from yourself, then it's going to be mutter. So Rav Aaron suggested that perhaps the same can be said for the avilus of not cutting your hair and not shaving during sefira. Maybe the same distinction as manazeh can be made between hair cutting and shaving. Now, when a person gets a haircut, they feel clean, they feel good about themselves, they feel like they look good. It's a hana'ah for a person to get a haircut. But it's not a tsar when a person doesn't get a haircut, usually, unless it goes for a very, very long time. It's not a tsar not to get a haircut. But for a person who similarly, if a person has a beard the whole year, so to grow the beard a little longer, maybe withholding a certain hana'ah from themselves, but it's not a tsar. Rav Aaron argues that perhaps if a person is used to shaving daily, when they don't shave, it's not just that they don't have the hana'ah of having a clean shaven face. It's mamish a tsar to have this prickly beard and the uncomfortable, itchy face. It's a tsar for the person to walk around like that. It's not just that they're all withholding benefit. And we don't find any obligation during svira to engage in tsar. What are the isurim of svira? You're not allowed to get married. That's not a tsar not to get married. It's just not the hana'ah of getting married. Not every day of your life is your wedding. It's not a tsar not to get married. If we find the issue not to listen to music, if you hold that's an issue, or not to dance in rather dancing, not for a person not to be involved in dancing, it's not a tsar not to dance. But these are things that are a certain hana'ah and a pleasure that a person has that he has to withhold from. But it's certainly not a tsar to withhold from these things. When something would be a tsar, however, he argues that perhaps that would be mitzvah. So it was not really reported, at least based on that statement, it was not really reported 100% accurately to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach exactly why Rav Aaron was making to shave once every week on Erev Shabbos. It wasn't purely because of that one Magen Avraham, that one comment that the Magen Avraham had together with the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer was saying Magen Avraham. It was really a combination of three different shittos that he put together, and he arrived at the conclusion that he can shave every Erev Shabbos. So in terms of halakha and lemaisa, we know, of course, there are many that hold that you shouldn't shave during Sefira, but certainly Rav Shlomo Zalman's advice on how to deal with people who have different minhagim and who, even though they have no reason for their businesses or any other reason to shave, still do shave, that certainly they're not in need of any mussar because they do it. Now, what about the heterim for business and for other things, for shaving during Sefira? So as much as a very brief tshuva, source number 30 on the page, Alice the Sikhal Tashim Chavveins, he writes to Rav Shmuel Berger, I don't know who that is, he says, he said, in Echad Oseg Be'ezah Nitzchah L'Malacha Shem Lo Yistapir Zikno V'Yimei HaSfira V'Yom Shvein Yizayin V'Pam Zul Tishabav Yilo Hefzid Mamon, a person is involved in some sort of business, where if he does not shave during Sfira or during the 3 weeks, it's going to cause him a loss of money, or probably, you know, this has been extended to more than a loss of money. It's been extended to, you don't really know what's actually causing you a loss of money. People don't, you don't get a promotion because you're viewed as eccentric, because every once in a while you don't shave for 3 weeks. So that may also be a loss of money that you may not be noticing right off the bat. But I think this heter is applied much more broadly than just when you can exactly define it and connect it to an actual loss of money. So he says, "Oz mutter ki lo nagu b'machmasi." So then it's mutter to shave during sefira because there's no minhag of observing the avilus of sefira when it's an issue of hefsid. Aval b'shavuah, and this a lot of people are not aware of that Rav Moshe held. Aval b'shavuah shachal bo tisha ba'av sha'asu midina de gemara. During the Shavuot Shachal Bo Tisha B'Av, where it's not just a minhag anymore. Now it's the din of the Gemara, so in the second time it's Ein Lahati. He says, in such a case, even if it's a Hefzid Mamon, that's not just a minhag, and you can't just say, well, we never accepted that minhag in the case of Hefzid Mamon. That's a real din, so he felt Ein Lahati during the Shavuot Shachal Bo Tisha B'Av, during the week in which Tisha B'Av falls. Maybe we'll discuss it more when we get to the 3 weeks, but that's, the Moshe seems to be very clear about that. What about shekels? I know my wife asked me right away of the Sfira. You can get a shekel cut during Sfira. So in general, the halacha about shekels is, the shekel is not your hair that's growing from your body. It doesn't have a din of hair, but a shekel has a din of a beged. In general, it's considered like a beged. So that whatever the din is about tailoring clothing would be the same for getting a shekel cut. So we'll discuss the halacha of tailoring clothing in just a moment. Now, a Baal Bris, someone who's making a Bris Milah, that is also very clear in the Shulchan Aruch that a Baal Bris is allowed to take a haircut. If you look at source number 32, you should write, who is a Baal Bris? The Sadik, the Amol, the Aviyaben. The Sadik, the Amol, and the father of the child are all considered Baal Bris, and they're all allowed to take a haircut and to shave before the Bris, even the day before the Bris, to prepare in advance for the Bris. It doesn't have to be the morning of, and that is 100% Muslim. How, what about people who are invited to a Bris? So it's interesting. Rav Moshe has a shayla, was asked the shayla, what if you're invited to a wedding? And you hold the tefila. Meaning there are a lot of people, supposedly this year especially, someone pointed out to me, a lot of people are making weddings, were making weddings between Pesach and Rosh Chodesh. So there are a lot of people, more so than I guess someone noticed that it's becoming a lot more common, that people are making weddings during this time, or at least on Rosh Chodesh that day, on this Rosh Chodesh, yesterday and the day before. And the heter obviously is well understood. We discussed last week. There are many different minhagim, six different minhagim of when to observe the day of Tefillah. And those that have a minhag not to observe days of Rosh Chodesh as Tefillah, or they only start in Rosh Chodesh and go till the end, or all these other different combinations that people do, they're certainly based in halacha, and they're allowed to observe such a minhag. But can you observe such a minhag when everyone else is tashmin? 450 guests also have to observe that minhag? Meaning, I know I'm going to be invited to a wedding on Rosh Chodesh yesterday. I knew in advance I was going to be invited to a wedding yesterday. And I also got an invitation for a wedding on Lag BaOmer, the day after Lag BaOmer, 2 days after Lag BaOmer. Can I go to both? They have to decide in advance that which one I like better and which one I'm going to attend. There's some sort of entertain such a possibility. Some sort of discussion. How can you go to both? And personally, some sort of mechalik between a large town and a small town, whether we should let people make weddings when it's not the meaning of Sufi. So in a small town, you can let them make a wedding because probably there's not going to be another wedding that conflicts in terms of the days of Sufi. In a large town, so there's probably going to be weddings all over the place. And maybe you have to be a little more careful. But some sort of, I have the truth in my own tongue, so I'm not going to read through the whole thing because it's getting late. But some sort of discusses this issue. So I have Rav Moshe hold about a wedding. So when you're invited to a bris, we never heard such a heter. Someone who's invited to a bris is a lot of shame. So I'm going to show up to a wedding, a good friend's wedding or a relative's wedding. If they decided to make a wedding and not hold sphira on this particular day, I'm going to show up looking like a mess. Is that appropriate? Is that part of being a Samei Chasim Mikala? Maybe you could argue it's no different than a bris. Okay, bris, I show up disheveled. I don't shave and take a haircut. Someone asked for most advice in what the din is by going to a wedding. If you look at source number 34, we're not going to read the whole thing, but certain selected pieces, he points out that he thinks that it's mutter, and then he says it's mutter with a caveat. He says, yeah, you have to understand. He says, it depends. Are you going to go anyway? I mean, would you go to the wedding looking like a mess, or would you just say, if you tell me that it's not a shave, I'm not going to go, because I'm not going to go looking like a wreck. A true story, I once went to a wedding, I was in yeshiva learning in the base register in the afternoon, I always take off my jacket in yeshiva while I'm learning. I had a wedding that evening. So one of the boys, it's not that common in hell, but one of the boys wears a jacket, a couple of boys, wears a jacket for davening, and he left it hanging over the chair right near my chair in the base medrash. And I was running out to go to the chasna, I grabbed the jacket, I actually put it on, I don't know how, I didn't notice, he was like 5'2". But anyway, I grabbed the jacket, I ran to the wedding, and I realized, I'm at the wedding, I'm shooting these people, and I realized, the buttons are brown, and the ceiling's black, the jacket's light blue, and the pants are black. And I left the wedding, I couldn't stay in the wedding looking like, I couldn't stay at the place looking like that. You know, and there's a certain point where you can't be in public looking like this. So one may feel that I'm not going to go to the chasna, if Moshe tells me, if you feel it, you're not going to go. If I tell you that you're not allowed to shave, then for sure shave and go. It's better to shave and to go. Why? So if you look at the last paragraph, he says, Lachain, in the last paragraph on the page, on page 134, Lachain, in Ein Hechrus L'Samad L'Stafir, Shalom Bosh Kol Kachmel L'Kachmel 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 Ein Rashi L'Stafir. If you don't really need to shave that early because you're not embarrassed to go to go as you are, so don't get a haircut and don't shave. Listening to the music he's not worried about, because that's part of the wedding. That he thinks you can go and do. Avalim v'lotis foras, but eino yachal leilek alakasim, but if you don't shave, you feel like you can't even show up to the wedding, rashay l'hispake, then you can get a haircut. Afshahu miyamim shenoik, is there, even though it's svira for you. Why? Lo mivayim hu meyakrum ke'ilu she'ak pidu ala p'shlo yavu v'yavu ak nimachum lachu v'yaminyat nasat v'lova ala chasna she'esh lahati lo. He says, and not only would I be master this for someone who's invited to the wedding and would have been schlepping from Israel and from different continents to go to the wedding, or would drop everything to go to the wedding because he's so close to the people. Not only am I master for them, ala abu misharakum, even if you're still a guy who's invited. Nami kivan di yesh mitzah al kol echad b'simchas chosem v'kala, nothing to do with how close you are with them. It's your chiyuv. Once you get that invitation in the mail, you have a chiyuv of simchas chasam v'kala. Not a chiyuv necessarily, but a mitzvah of simchas chasam v'kala. And if, when you know that if you don't get a haircut, you're not going to be able to be mitzvah of chasam v'kala, so then nashem v'stapel, go get a haircut. You'll ask the kasher, what about the people who go to a bris? They don't take a haircut. Well, it's not in the bris milah. No, it's not at all comparable to a bris milah. She ain't my feeling that's not a cruel to stop her. El Avi Abim Ba'amol Va'asan is my bris milah. They only allow the father, the mole, and the son to get a haircut. She sham leka mitzvah al sharaz amitarat from she yavol lavis. There's no mitzvah to go to a bris. There's no mitzvah of being the sameach for baby or being the sameach for parents of the baby. It's nice to be mishtatik in the Suda's mitzvah, but there's no mitzvah to go. Well, I'll be a better mitzvah, shayasa b'simcha b'riboyan. It's the father's chiyuv to have people there so that he can enjoy the simcha more. Meaning it's a greater simcha when he has more people there. But it's not your chiyuv simcha when you go or your mitzvah simcha when you go. It's you going enhances the father's mitzvah of simcha. That's all part of the father's simcha. When it comes to wedding, it's a mitzvah on each and every person to go to the wedding. The east of Bishmol, like the Bishmol writes from Yisrael Mechai, it's quite valid. She comes from Rosh Hashanah Poskin, that writes from the Poskin, that mitzvah is sameach, that it's a mitzvah to go and be in the sameach chasam v'kala. I think that's the distinction that one can draw between the going to a chasna and the going to a bris. Some sofer perhaps disagrees with this. I think people are so much under emotion when you get invited to the wedding during Sfira, you can certainly go, even if it's your Sfira. And whether a person could shave, I think people also are so much under emotion, depending on whether you would otherwise go the way you look or not. Usually you would, because most people know it's Sfira, and it's not really that embarrassing to go when you have a Sfira beard, because everyone recognizes the Sfira beard for what it is. Okay. Just to quickly run through the other forms of simcha, because when it comes to sfira, there's very little that's actually said in Shulchan Aruch. That's actually explicit that is usher in Shulchan Aruch. So a number of other shailas come up. One shaila that came up, an unusual shaila that has ramifications. People ask me, someone asking me about a birthday party. People ask about other seudos or rishos where a lot of people get together to celebrate something. So is that allowed during Sfira? You want to have an open house for the community to meet and greet, something like that. People can want to have some types of events where people get together. Is that mutter during Sfira? So Rav Moshe wasn't asked this exact shayla, but Derech Agav, he mentions it when he asked the following shayla. A case of a chasam and kala who were from out of town. They came from, I don't know where they were from, but some, they were from a town where they did not get married. They got married in, let's say, New York, and just to pick an example, they both came from, they were both from Chicago. So the chasam and kala, who were both born and raised in Chicago, had a lot of friends who couldn't make it to the wedding, and when they finally went back to Chicago, people wanted to make a suda for them. They went back to Chicago 2 months after the wedding, and it's not Shavuot Brachos anymore, and there's no Suda's mitzvah to have anymore, but they wanted to make a Suda for them, and it happens to be that now it's the middle of Sfira. Can they go and have this Suda in the middle of Sfira? That was the shayla that was posed to Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe writes, based on a Gemara in the Seches Ksubas. The Gemara in the Seches Ksubas says that there is a distinction in the halakha when you say the bracha Shas Simcha b'ma'ono at a Suda. And the Gemara says that during Sheva Brachos, regardless of the stated reason for the Seuda, if Chasim, Kala, Baruch Hadash, they're all there, you say Shasim Kabimono, even if the Seuda happens to be a bunch of people just eating together in a bagel shop, and it wasn't meant to be a Sheva Bracha Seuda. Once it's beyond Shloshim, so if they say it's for the wedding, then I believe the Gemara says that once it's beyond Shloshim, that if the Ahayikot Kabimono, he says that once it's beyond Shloshim, the Ad Shloshim Yom Afilu B'Lo Amar Machmas Yilula. sorry, up until the Shloshim, even if they don't say that those Suzas for the wedding, you still make Shasim for the Mono. And after Shloshim, between Shloshim and Yom, and Yud Beis Chodesh, between 30 days and 12 months after the wedding, if they say that this meal is in honor of the marriage of these two people, you would still make Shasim for the Mono. It's unbelievable. We never heard of such a thing. 2 months after a couple gets married, they're throwing a feast, they're throwing a party, and you still make Shasim for the Mono. But a year after already, then you tell them time to get over it. You know, now we're not celebrating the wedding anymore. Now we can celebrate the marriage, the anniversary, but you're not celebrating the wedding. You don't make Shasim Chumano. Ramosh says, what do you see from there? You see from there that even during Yud Beis Chodesh, there could be such a thing as a Seudas Mitzvah for a wedding. Even within 12 months of the wedding, there can be such a thing as a Seudas Mitzvah. So Ramosh was making, and he said, you can go, you can have a wedding, you shouldn't have music, you can go, you can have a wedding, and you can have not a wedding, you can have a Seudah, in honor of your wedding, 2 months after the wedding, during Svira. Now, in passing, Ramosh writes, and it's a crucial line, he writes that, he says, that when it comes, he says, he named Lomatsinu Mefurash, and we don't find explicitly she is a Asr B'Yemei Sphira, that should be Asr during Sphira, Afshalo B'Nisuin, even when it's not, when it has nothing to do with the wedding, the Efshat, the Ein Dvar Neilu B'Kala Minig Da'avelis B'Yemei Sphira, Ach Misvara Ulai Yesh Lahachim Erkivan Shu Inyan Simcha. So we don't find Mefurash anyway that it's Asr to have a get-together, to have a lot of friends get together and have a little party. The other say it's Mefurash Asr anywhere. Part of Moshe says, in passing, if it's not a Seudas Mitzvah, if I can't label this as even a little bit of a Seudas Mitzvah, so I'm going to have to say, Misvara, I think it's not right. It's not right to have a party during Sphira. Now, it's not so cautious that it's Asr. If Moshe says, Misvara, it seems you shouldn't do it, but he doesn't say that it's Asr because it's not Mefurash anywhere that it's Asr. In fact, it is Mefurash somewhere that it's Mutter. The Aruch HaShulchan, in source number 41, I added this a little bit late, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes, I think the Feirish, toward the end of that Aruch HaShulchan, he said he was talking about making a wedding and making a Suuda in honor of an engagement party or a party in honor of the Erisin. He says in the last two lines, Avala Aris, Lukadis, Shapizami, Bechain Eslein, Lassel, Shiduchim, Velichkov, Tanoim, Mutter, it's even rich, Mutter, we get engaged, it's Mutter, right up at Tanoim, Shemi, Yikad, Menu, Acher, because we're afraid someone else may ask the girl before you get a chance to, Umutter, Lassel, Suuda, then you can make a Suuda, Achlo, Vivi, Kuzim, Nukolos, as long as there's no dancing, Vekoshkim, Shaasu, Lizamer, Bekuzemer, certainly you know I have music either. Dancing is also kalvachomer, music is also also. We know where the Aruch HaShulchan stands on music now. But he says, V'chein Suzas HaRishos Mutter. To most of this race, that the Suzas HaRishos, he thinks, is also Mutter. A Suz, the largest Suz that you have, is Mutter. Ubuvad, Lodi Kuzim Mokhalos. As long as you don't get up and start dancing. So the Aruch HaShulchan apparently was of the opinion against Rav Moshe, that it should be Mutter to have a Suzas HaRishos in general. And I try to do when people ask me about making these types of things, I try to give the Rav Moshe approach. I don't say Asr, because it's not Asr, you shouldn't do it. Don't do it during Sphira. There's an amazing evil. I tell anyone who's having a big birthday party during Sphira that it's Asr what they're doing. No, it's not Asr what they're doing. It's not against any Mefurash Halacha. Either of them, or for sure, could be some fun, but it's something you shouldn't do. Of course, in Shabbos, you could do it, right? You know, it's your birthday. In Shabbos, you could do it. You can get together people and have a party. There's nothing, because there's no Avelos. Even real Avelos are not known on Shabbos for the most part, so the Minhagi Avelos, the Torah, are relaxed for Shabbos. So in Shabbos, I think it's not a problem. Now, also, an issue that people deal with, I discussed last week, is the issue of movies. I pointed out last week, and I maintain this position, that I don't understand why movies would be any different during Sphira than they are the rest of the year. I think it's a standard line that rabbis are supposed to give, right? That if it's with the rest of the year, it's with the Sphira also, right? Those are the circumstances. Simply because the music and the background music doesn't bother me that much because A, they're posting that I'm not to music in general, and B, background music, many folks can say, is not really called music. By that logic, you know, many would say that it should be asked to listen to a news station because there's background music when the newscasters come on or in the commercials or something like that. And B, the gathering of many people. So even if the people are talking to each other and getting together and having a suda and a feast together, it's a premiere or something, and you know there's a big party going on, even then it's not so clear that it's Asr. If Moshe says Misvari, it's the Asr. It's not so clear that it's Asr to have such a gathering. But couple of people, the gathering is a bunch of strangers who aren't going to talk to each other at all, and I don't think that's really called a gathering of any significance where it should be Asr. The other issue that comes up is what about buying new clothing and making a Shafianu. So Mishapur is mysterious about this, that it's looked to make the Shafianu during Sfira. There are a number of sources, apparently, in Kabbalah and in Chassidus that suggest that one should not make a Shafianu. So there are those that have a minhag not to avoid making a Shafianu during Sfira. Is it Osir? No, it's not Osir to make a Shafianu during Sfira. Buying new clothing, it seems, is Mutter, and making Shafianu, it seems, is Mutter. Now, work on the house is another issue. Work on the house is something that also, especially when it's so late in the year, when Pesach falls out so late, this is the most, you drive up and down the street, you'll see more contractors and handymen and painters with their vans parked in front of people's houses during this time of year than just about any other time of year. It's a very common time for people to do work on their house. Is it Luther? Tito Yezer writes and he's asked about this, and he thinks that that it is mutter to do work on the house, and it doesn't seem that there should be any problem with it. He writes that there are some of the minhag not to say shafianu on a new food or a new beged, but he says bottom line is A, that's probably mutter, and we don't find anywhere that a person does on a house, it may not be included in the category of what we would call binyan shel simcha, and therefore he thinks that that would be mutter as well. So basically, when it comes to what we really have to be aware of during Sfira, is the music we should be aware of, dancing we should be wary of, making weddings during what we hold the Sfira, a person shouldn't do, and shaving and haircutting, if a person doesn't have a heter for business purposes, the shaving and haircutting also we have to be careful about during the Sfira. Just about anything else, because it is not written for us anywhere that it's asur, but just as a general idea, it's important that a person should realize that it is Sfira, and there is a certain sense of avilus. And on the one hand, as the Sitzel Yezer writes in the Tshuva, if we were to try to be machted about every single day that it sort of happened to the Jewish people, not to do any things that have to do with simcha, so we would never have any simcha in our lives. But on the other hand, these days were pointed out by Chazal as days of particular avelus, of particularly difficult times, and they were pointed out by the poskim, and if we have a heter for everything, if we can use a heter for music, and we don't like dancing much anyway, and we have a heter to shave for work, so a person can go through Sfira without even realizing that there's any sort of avelus. So in those circumstances, a person should maybe think about being machmir for one of the other chumras that some of the posts can have about Sfira. Whatever your chumra is going to be, then maybe if you're generally making with music and you think that the music shouldn't be a problem with halacha, then maybe during Sfira, if you're not doing anything else with Sfira, maybe it's not so unreasonable to just do something to remind ourselves that we are, in fact, during days of difficult emotional times of Sfira, which is, and we should feel, in some sense, a sense of avelus.